When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In our 8 o'clock hour, it is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. The college football playoff rankings are set to drop tonight, like they usually do, and so you can give us your best prediction of where you think things will stack up. Maybe you want to predict where the dogs will fall after a weekend of some shakeups in which we saw Ohio State get knocked off in their game against Michigan.
Do you guys think that if most Georgia fans could skip this weekend and host a playoff game in Athens in a couple of weeks, that they would vote for that to happen? Like, not that they don't want, I'm not saying they don't want to win the SEC championship, but if you just had the choice between playing against Texas this weekend or hosting in a few weeks, I wish there was a way for the teams that were the top four seeds to be the host teams that get a home playoff game.
Well, then you don't get a bye.
That's my point. I wish that the teams that got the bye were able to host the home playoff game.
Okay, well, I don't, this is going to sound like a jerk thing to say, but
then don't say it.
Well, I know I'm going to say it because you don't get everything you want. You can't have an expanded playoff.
Why not? You know why? Because money.
Yeah, and money makes the world go round, unfortunately, and that's the reality of college football. It sucks. It's also why the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have 7 to 8 teams in. You know why? Because the most important thing is having matchups that people are going to watch.
I don't think it should be that way. Stand by my original statement.
Again, that's fine. You can.
I don't know why you're so mad at me.
Because it gets because everyone wants it their way, and it's great, but it doesn't happen. You know, Georgia didn't get in the playoff last year because four conference champions did, and you didn't win your conference championship. That's why you didn't get in. Georgia fans still crying about 2023.
Oh, I see what happened.
Now, if you want to get in these things and you're not a brand name, you've got to win almost all your games or your conference title.
You know, brand name. I mean, I feel like that only goes so far. Like, I know it helps a lot.
I know it
helps a lot, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is if, I don't know, pick a random school. Let's say
Penn
South
State.
Carolina or something like that. If they have a great season, right, and they're undefeated, you would assume it's a big enough school, right, that they would get it.
Well, they're in.
That's
because
why you just said you had to win their conference. You had to win almost all your games.
I'm going to tell you this. Alabama has gotten the benefit of the doubt in the 14 playoff a couple of times because they are Alabama and because they were coached by Nick Saban. That is the reality. Georgia has gotten the benefit of the doubt because they were Georgia. Because if you want to be down to it, and then to me in the 14 playoff system, you know, now we've gone to where conference titles matter and you get in. But in the past, conference, you know, winning your conference should stand for something, but it hasn't. And Georgia was able to get in 2021 when they got hammered in the SEC title game. I mean, absolutely destroyed. And they were able to come back and beat Alabama in the national title. But you know why? Because they were a brand name in a brand name conference.
So what you're saying, I'm not disagreeing with you. What you're saying is then, even if you are a smaller school that has this, I guess what I'm trying to get at is the whole reason this format has changed is so that we could see more teams get in. But you're saying it's still the same old, with brand name teams still getting the benefit of the doubt in this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why, what's Ohio State's best win?
No,
Penn State or Indiana? But Ohio State has a really bad loss. The Michigan loss is bad. I'm sorry. That's a bad loss.
That's a bad loss.
I said that last week going into that game, how bad that would be and how tough it would be for Ryan Day to recover from.
But guess what, Tiffany? When you see Ohio State hosting a home playoff game with two losses, when Indiana's only got one, doesn't matter.
It doesn't make sense. You're right.
My only point, to go back to the don't yell at me again.
I'm not going
to
yell at you.
Okay?
I don't know why
you must have been arguing with somebody on the socials and you got
I've been arguing with multiple people.
Your blood pressure's up through the roof and now you're arguing with me. My point being is that I don't think if you win a conference, like if you win the SEC or the ACC or, you know, the ACC's bad. If you win the Big Ten or the SEC, you shouldn't have to play a neutral site game to win that, and then your first playoff game be a neutral site game. Like, and other teams are getting home games. It's just, I know what you're about to say. I can't have everything I want. But my God, I would love to see it where if Georgia went out and won the SEC this weekend, that they would get to play in Athens in their first playoff game.
But let me ask you this. If you had to pick between, because you can only have one, what would you rather have? The bye week or the home game? If you could only have one.
Am I a fan or a player?
Player.
The bye week.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
But if you're a fan, shouldn't you want your team to have a week off, healthy? I understand, and here's the problem here's why I think they're not going to punish teams like Georgia and like Oregon and Penn State for making their conference title game and losing. Like, I don't think they're in Texas. They're not going to punish those teams because the money that it makes and they're good TV matchups, people watch, there's a lot of money, and therefore they're going to reward. I don't think if Georgia loses to Texas, I think Georgia hosts a home playoff game.
I hope so. God, I hope so. I hope it the other way around as well. If Texas loses to Georgia for a second time and their only two losses are to Georgia, I think they should host a game in Austin.
Well, I think they're guaranteed to. I think Georgia's the outlier because it would be their third loss. And I think Penn State is guaranteed, if they lose to Oregon, to host a home playoff game because it would only be their second loss.
Yeah.
But I think brand names are going to carry more weight because at the end of the day, this is a TV production.
So if the loser of the Big Ten championship were to host a playoff game and lose the SEC championships hosting a playoff game, and you probably got Notre Dame hosting a playoff game, then – I mean, are our host teams starting to be set for December 20th? Is that what we're looking at? I mean, where does Indiana sit in? Like, it's just, it's frustrating to me.
That's why Ohio State's weird to me, is where does Indiana, that's why I think Ohio State is going, and that's why the brand name, when Tiff said that, I think they still get credit, because I think Indiana's going to be playing on the road somewhere.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't disagree. You could see Indiana as a 10 seed, playing Georgia maybe as a 7 in Athens if Georgia was to lose.
That's a good one.
And Ohio State could be like 6 or something in that, or maybe 8. I don't know.
I'm ready for these home playoff games. I am so ready for these home playoff games.
Let's go to X. We do have a tweet however, I don't even know what you say. What do they say on X? Someone send something to
they
you?
They tweeted me.
I know,
DM
but it's still like, I
it's still
know.
A tweet.
Anyway, it went to all of
they
us.
They X'd
so.
You? That just sounds weird.
Brandon.
Don't say that.
I'm not.
You don't say that.
I will not. This is from Brandon Mincy. He said, morning peeps. So he has two wake-up calls for Jimmy Lake and the Falcons. He said, keep the same type of plan, rinse and repeat. So he's talking about the defense there. And then for two, he said, Bo, it's cute. You're thinking you're going to reason with an emotional 2 to 5-year-old. So... this is in regards to you saying, just to have a conversation. We're talking about Elf on the Shelf with Mike's kids.
Ugh.
And his son was very upset about where the elf was placed and whatnot. Bo thought, sure, you can just talk to a 2 to 5 year old range and have a normal conversation. So that's your wake up call, Blair.
Also got yelled at by Arch through a text. He just told me that I was being a jerk. I mean, I cleaned it up a little bit. He told me I was being a jerk because I was
about the kid thing.
No, about coming at me when I yelled at him about deal, his. Man? You can't have both. Well, I
also got yelled at a little bit because you know, you're not supposed to talk about the ELF. Especially out loud, and so I got yelled at about that.
Oh, so you got yelled at and I didn't.
Yeah, I got yelled at about that.
Wait, about it out loud in front of the child or in general?
Just in general, really, but definitely not on the airwaves. On the microphone. Not knowing who's in the car.
In case there's a child in reach, because the elf is real. So
thank you for saying that after the I elf spelled is... ELF, trying not to talk about it again. Tiff goes right back in and says it out loud. Thank
Never
God.
Know what's going to happen here. So,
oh man,
we're not supposed to say it.
Not supposed to talk about it.
I just thought I thought Lindsay was going to come at me, so I'm kind of relieved. I'm glad that you got in trouble. It's nice to not be in trouble.
I feel like you stay in trouble.
I do. I stay in trouble at home. That's going to be the. It's going to be the thing. Who's going to get in trouble more when my kid gets old enough to get in trouble, me or the kid?
Yeah, definitely you.
I mean, I'm always.
For sure.
By far.
You know, my mom always told me growing up my mouth was going to get me in trouble. Got me a job, but might get me in trouble still. It still gets me in trouble, I guess.
It's about to get you in trouble with me here in just
a second.
Oh, yeah?
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to step up.
Yeah. Step down.
Look, call us if you want to see a fight go down or some cameras up in here, and maybe we could get the live stream up if you two want to go at it over college football and home games and home field advantage and all of it, because it seemed to get pretty passionate in your debate. All right. When we come back here, then on the morning shift, we told you we still have Pat Forty set to join us here to go over all that's happening in the college football world. We have the college football playoff rankings again. Those are coming out tonight, but we also have the Hawks, and they are going to try to win a fifth straight. They play the Bucks tomorrow. They just defeated the Pelicans, so more on what it took to get that W on the way here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 98.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift, and the Hawks took out the Pelicans 124-112 yesterday. Trae Young, 12 points, 15 assists for his 15th double-double of the season, so he was able to distribute the ball well. With a lot of what you saw from this team as they get ready to face the Bucks, that game will be tomorrow night.
Yeah, don't call it a comeback. Bandwagon's closed, all the above, right? Ready to set sail on this thing.
I don't think the bandwagon's closed at 11.
Yeah, if you weren't on board before this 4-game win streak.
He leads the league in assists per night in his average at 12.2. He's not been very good from the floor shooting the last, what, 7 or 8 games. But
really, most of the year.
He's done it,
we're being honest, which I know you like.
I like it when you're honest with me.
Yeah.
But he's done a good job of supplementing that, right? He's done a good job of saying, hey, you know what? I'm gonna dish the ball. He's also been really good from the free throw line. I mean, he's shooting 89% from the free throw line, which if the season's not going to end after 21 games, but if for him, 22 for them. But if it did, it would be his second best career free throw percentage. So he's playing. I think one of the biggest things that we would talk about with Trae, and I was kind of excited after hearing him talk in media day and before the season started. Is that, you know, the man grew a beard and became a leader.
And going back to that beard.
Because you know why? Because leaders wear beards. And I've got a beard. I am technically a leader of people here, Tiff.
He might be onto something here.
I'm a management person, yeah.
He might be onto something.
Maybe you're just hiding something.
Bad chin.
Well, I am hiding a bad chin, but I'm also leader. I mean, thanks for calling me out. I mean,
no, I didn't.
Daggum. There's no, you know.
No, it was just both of you.
I don't think there is a chin. I think it's a bad one.
Both of you tried to weigh in on leaders having beards because both of you have beards. So I just said maybe you're hiding something. I've never seen either of you without a beard before.
I don't know what I look like without a beard. I can tell you that.
I'll tell you, more than one thing can be true, Tiffany.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Okay,
you don't have to have a good chin to be a leader.
I never attacked your chin.
But you do have to have a beard.
I'm sorry if I hit some sort of nerve. I didn't come at your chin.
I think you did come at his chin. I don't know what else you would have been pointing to when you said maybe you're hiding something.
I said both of you. It was an all encompassing. Both of you could be hiding something. It wasn't, hey, Bo doesn't have a chin, so he grows a beard. I never said that.
Tiff, whenever you come after a dude and what they have under their beard, that's always a soft spot for all men. Yeah, for most men. Now, I won't say all, but for most men, I feel like it is.
Okay.
I honestly don't know if I have a bad or a good chin. See, couldn't tell you. Haven't seen it.
Dylan's got a beard, and he's stepping up right there.
He has a baby.
Speaking
he's
up for
not
men.
Even a full beard.
Yeah, he's got a baby beard.
It's like a 5 o'clock shadowish stubbly beard, but it's basically a beard.
What do I know?
I would call it a teenage beard, not a baby beard.
It's a baby beard.
It's not a baby beard.
It's a baby beard.
You can clearly see I have a beard. It's a teenage beard.
It's a sporadically baby beard. One day it'll grow in. Don't worry. You're on your way. You'll grow into a better leader as that beard grows in fuller.
one more quick thing before we pivot from the Hawks. Bogey is not shooting the ball well either. And I would make the argument that Bogey's one of your four best players at this point. Even though he comes off the bench, he's obviously that guy that you definitely need inside of Quinn Snyder's system to be able to be good and knock down shots. He's 2 of 10 from the field last night and 1 of 8 on three-pointers. That's what gives me such high hopes for these Hawks. They're playing defense at a level we haven't seen them play, and they are making things happen offensively and on the boards. even without shooting the ball well. And I know when that shot comes, because eventually it will for Trey. We always have the back of the baseball card thing going on. Eventually, the back of the baseball card will show up for Trey Young and Bogey, and you'll be able to get it done. And I think that's when the Hawks are going to hit one of those stretches where they win like 8 of 9, and we're talking about them really making a playoff run.
Yeah, I'd love to see them get hit 8 of 9. They're on 4 straight now, so maybe they're on their way. Hey, what if I told you that Rob Manfred has suggested the worst rule change in the history of sports? Yep. A little W Sauce Bloody Mary mix. My friends at New Realm Brewing, the Owl Inn. I got a Sixer at home. Actually, I got a few Sixers. You want one? You want a beer?
I'm good, but listen, don't try to pawn your beer off of me since you don't drink a lot of beer. And yours is always transfusions.
I drink a lot of beer these days. I've actually drank more beer in the last month than I have in a while. I'm back on a little bit of a beer kick.
I don't believe you.
I cut out the transfusions because of the sugar. I think it was too much sugar. Yeah, I started realizing that. Me and my buddy had a conversation. He's like, I think there's too much sugar. So I'm back to some beer, and I'm lucky.
Yeah, I'm more of a short burst guy myself.
I don't know what that means. And don't forget my friends at Omaha Steaks. I am the meat man, by the way. Promo code SQUID. That's SQUID. And you'll get an extra $30 off your order, which is 50% off right now. So get over to omahasteaks.com. All right. Rob Manfred was on John Oran's podcast called The Varsity about 2 months ago. And the reason I bring it up, the fact is that something he said was written about by The Athletic's Jason Stark. Manfred said that there had been a little buzz about implementing something called a golden at bat.
I'm already booing.
Now, this the disgusting idea.
This is when a fan comes from the crowd and they get to
essentially
crack at the
just
plate.
Just about.
I could go somewhere. I could go some other places with this, but basically this would give each MLB team a one-time chance on offense to send a hitter of their choice to the plate at any point in the contest, which is also known as a game.
So I was kind of on track.
Yeah, you're not far off. It's essentially, you remember Rock and Jock softball?
Yes.
And you could have like the eight run ball. So if you hit a home run, it would count as 8 runs instead of 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they had like the 20-point basket or something you could hit, something along those lines. That is this. It is the dumbest, most asinine thing I have ever heard. I hope he was joking, but if Jason Stark, I trust Jason Stark. He's one of the better baseball writers out there. I just can't imagine that anyone would want this that is associated with the sport that's not a clown.
You just yelled at me a minute ago because I told you that money was ruining what I thought would be a great college football playoff format. And this is along the same lines. Eventually, we are going to get to a point where entertainment ruins athletics. Entertainment is ruining athletics. It's ruining competition because everything we do in terms of sports nowadays is to make it have higher entertainment value. And this is the most ridiculous thing. The fact that, like, I honestly thought this was like from The Onion. Like, I thought that I was being punked when I read this. I thought, no way. And then you start seeing other baseball writers pick up, to your point, and they start talking about it. And it feels like we're headed towards a league full of the Savannah Bananas. Why don't we? You know what? How about this? The winning team has to play 3 fans in the outfield in the bottom of the 9th inning. Or you know what I mean? Like, let's just get to a point where we just make it freaking ridiculous for all people involved. Manfred is so off base with this. Like, I have to ask questions about what his future is as a commissioner. If this is even a serious thought in any way for him.
This is the worst thing I've heard mentioned in the same breath with Major League Baseball since Mark Zeno said he could hit R.A. Dickey. He said he could hit an R.A. Dickey knuckleball. And he said this with extreme confidence.
Face. Yeah.
I go back to times of people that I respect in the business that cover games. And one of the people is Grant McCauley. He obviously is our insider for the Braves here. He tweeted about this. This is when I knew that this was there was reality, that this wasn't a fake quote. And so then I went digging of where it all came from. But Grant retweeted this, and I reposted it. But he said, why don't we just stop messing with the game? Or, and this is crazy, make adjustments that people are actually asking for. You know, little things like making TV broadcasts more easily accessible in order to service existing fans, create new ones, and grow the game. See, that's one of the biggest problems with baseball. Is I think they've done some good things with trying to shorten the games up and stuff. That's great. I don't know what the injury situation and how that affects injuries. But the fact is that a lot of people want to watch baseball, and they can't find it, or it gets taken off a provider because of a dispute that is ridiculous. You know, it's never going to be a national sport like football. It's a regional sport. I think in some ways the NBA is very similar. Get these fans the games that actually are there, and then it'll help them sit down and watch it with their kids or their family, and they can grow the sport that way. Not make these ridiculous, dumb changes to the game that destroys the existing fan base.
You know what was the funniest part of Grant's tweet? Multiple people responded to his tweet and made fun of him because they thought that he was responding to a fake quote. Like, well, they were like, oh, I can't believe you responded to this graphic of this fake quote. Come to find out, it's real. It was a real graphic. Mm-hmm. So that tells you all you need to know about what Rob Manfred said.
That's what they get for questioning Grant.
Up next, we've got senior writer for Sports Illustrated covering college football and basketball, you name it. Pat Forty is going to join us here on the show. We'll get his predictions for the college football playoff rankings that drop tonight. We'll be right back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com for a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are back here on the morning shift, going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find senior writer for Sports Illustrated covering college football, basketball, a whole host of sports. Pat Forty joining us here. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, Tiffany. Good morning to you.
Pat, should teams that make the college football playoff, like an Oregon, a Texas, an Alabama, Penn State, for instance, teams with that are kind of higher up, should they be punished for making their championship game if they lose? Or should they kind of be automatic for those four? Because they kind of are outliers compared to some of the other teams in the conference title games.
Yeah, I don't expect there to be major penalties for not winning a conference championship game for those schools. You know, I think that there's an acknowledgement that you were good enough to get that far, better than some other schools from your leagues that are probably going to be in the playoffs, or at least had a better record, which is a whole other deal given the size of the conferences and the mismatched schedules. But, you know, I think unless one of these teams goes in and absolutely lays an egg and loses by 40 points, I think for the most part, the results of this will help determine automatic bids, first-round buys, but not be exclusionary from the playoff.
Pat, I wanted to ask you, I got to do an event with the executive director of the college football playoff, and he talked about what went into the voting, and he mentioned the eye test. That was the first criteria that he talked about. So for you, and we'll get to your list of who might be in the college football playoff and where they sit right now. What went into it for you? Was it the eye test? What else?
Well, I mean, I think resume is the biggest thing because, you know, the eye test can change week to week. Obviously, the hope and expectation is that people on the committee are watching all the games by the primary teams. But I don't know whether it's realistic to expect that they've seen 12 games for 3 hours or even the condensed versions of 20 different teams. So, you know, that's where eye test can be a little bit fickle to me. I think resume is very important, who you played and how you looked, especially in the big games. Who are your big wins? Who are your losses? And how does that compare to other teams that you've played? You know, and I think, really, I think the committee has been almost done a little bit of a favor by some of these late losses, that there's just fewer contenders right now. You know, I think we went from about 20 contenders to seemingly 11 good teams and then a few on the bubble for the 12th spot. So I don't think this is going to be a very heavy lift, but we'll see tonight. Tonight's going to be actually a very important ranking.
Yeah, Pat, I want to talk about that a little bit. And I listen, I'm a Bama guy. I don't even know how I feel about the possibility of Bama getting the playoff. To me, I thought that was I thought that ship had sailed after the Oklahoma game. So I think it's been interesting. I thought you laid it out pretty well in your column about these three SEC teams. So just for sake of our argument, let's talk about these three SEC teams and kind of how you picture them, because I think there are good arguments for all of Bama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss to get that 12th spot if things fall out the way you kind of pointed out in your article.
Yeah, I think it's those three and it's Miami, and you kind of got to decide who you think should be in there. And yes, the zombie tide are amazing. They never die. Yeah. Same as last year. You think they're out? No, they're not out. And then this year, even more so, the number of losses. Every time they lost, no, they're not going to make it. And here they are on the doorstep at least. You know, I think for me, looking at the three SEC teams, it's difficult, but I would put Alabama at the head of the list because I think they've played the best schedule. And so I give them credit there. I think that beating Georgia was big, which Mississippi already also did, but they also beat LSU on the road, which counts significantly. And of course they beat South Carolina. Now Mississippi beat Georgia and beat South Carolina as well, but their losses are bad. They've got bad losses. And that's not to say that Alabama's losses to Oklahoma and Vandy are good, but I think they've got a little bit more on the resume. The caveat there is South Carolina's the hottest team out of those three, probably the most dangerous in a playoff, but this isn't supposed to be about who's hot at the end. It's supposed to be about your 12-game season, and they got blown out by Ole Miss, and they lost to Alabama. So it's just hard for me to put them ahead of the other two.
Right.
Well, that's that. Actually, I kind of wanted to touch on that real quick, and that was you kind of went ahead and went there. We've seen in the past, though, where teams have tried to get arguments. I remember, there was a kind of an argument, I think it was 2007, it was a different system completely. That was the BCS, but Georgia went on this amazing run at the end of that season, and a lot of people in the media made a case for them because they were the hottest team, and they thought they could win the national title that year. Should that be a factor as part of the eye test with how hot they are? I mean, they've won six straight, win against Texas A&M when they were 10th, and then the 12th-ranked Clemson.
Yeah, and I all credit to them. They've had an awesome season, for sure. But, no, I don't think you can exclude the first half of the season. You know, the whole fear about this playoff was – it'll diminish the regular season. It's actually helped enhance it for a lot more teams. It's a more interesting, broad-based regular season. But I think to avoid that criticism and to have the regular season fully matter, the whole thing of it has to fully matter. And so what you did in September matters, and what you did in October matters, and what you did in November as well. So, you know, I think for South Carolina, that's the sticking point there, is that it's a 12-game season. It's a 12-game resume. All of it has to be weighed relatively equally.
Pat, I want to talk real quick about this SEC title game coming up and really how that will affect what happens with the college football playoff. I am picking Georgia to win to beat Texas. They've already done it. They dominated them in big fashion on the road in Austin. But there is concern, I think, and it's just – for me, just looking out of the greater picture of this entire thing, if Georgia were to lose the SEC title game, would they have to travel in the first round? I don't think that's fair necessarily that they would have to travel because they'd be a three-loss Georgia team at that point. Is there any chance, if Georgia were to lose, that they would stay as a team getting a home game in the first round of the playoffs?
I think it's possible. You know, that part, of, you know, like I said, I don't think losing a conference championship game would be a disqualifier from the bracket if you're already in, but it may knock you down to the point where you're roaching in that first round. We'll see. That's another reason why tonight's rankings will matter, is where is Georgia and other schools right now? Would they be in position to host a home game? You figure Notre Dame and the Big Ten loser are going to get home games. Who else? Who are the other two? And so that's why I want to see where is Georgia, where's Ohio State, where's Tennessee, that sort of thing. that's where it gets difficult. Again, I feel for the committee trying to decide how much weight to put other than on, outside of winning a conference championship game, which is obviously going to have a big reward. But what is the penalty if you don't win? And I'm shocked, frankly, that Georgia, I believe, is an underdog right now. I think I saw that Texas favored by 1 or 2 points. I mean, we saw them play in Austin. And right. This is in Atlanta. Look, Georgia's effort and focus seems to wax and wane unlike any other Kirby Smart team I've ever seen, but I still would not pick the dogs as an underdog in this.
I'm with you.
That is a great insight, Pat, because I don't know what's going to end up happening in that game. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
That was senior writer for Sports Illustrated, who covers college football, basketball, Olympics, all the sports. Pat Forty joining us here on the morning show.
And the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Derby.
He follows the ponies.
The list is long. All right, when we come back here, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.